The gospel reading is Luke 2, 1 through 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken in a while. And Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone was on their way to register for a census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her giving her birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping their watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. The baby will be wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he was pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known their statement, which had been told to them of this child, and all who heard of it wondered at the things that they were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all the things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as he had told them. There ended the reading of the gospel.
So how many of you have ever been in a cave, gone like on a tour of a cave? A lot of us have done that. I haven't done that in a long time, but I know I was really little, kind of probably mid to early elementary age, and I remember just being amazed by what I saw, because of course you don't see that out and about. And I wondered at that young age what it would be like if somebody had turned off the artificial lighting. Well, it seems that visitors at Mammoth Cave in Kentucky get the opportunity to find that out. During the tour, the lights are turned off and the guests are plunged into total darkness. Now, I imagine that would be kind of an eerie experience, particularly for a child. Well, on one occasion, it happened that a small child during the tour, when the lights were shut out off, cried out in total fear. The child's older brother assured his sibling by saying, "Don't be afraid. There's a man who knows how to turn the lights on." Indeed. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So tonight we pause. It's a holy time, a time to ponder, a time to allow the beauty and mystery of the Christmas message to wash over us. In the church, we particularly love this time of year, the sacred hymns and carols, the nativity scenes, and the sacred stories of our Savior's birth. One of those cherished hymns is Silent Night. We will sing it soon. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly sleep. sleep and heavenly sleep. It paints a picture of calmness and serenity, beauty, peace. And much of our modern depictions of Christmas are like that. We see it on Christmas cards, people, the Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and everyone gathered around and all the straw is just perfect and all the hairs in place and the clothing is beautiful. Or we have Mary and Joseph or the wise men in those silhouettes against a moonlit night. But friends, it's kind of time for a bit of a reality check. For the first Christmas was not so silent a night. You see, Jesus was born during desperate and uncertain times. Israel was occupied by Rome under the leadership of Augustus Caesar. The people were heavily taxed in order to ensure Roman peace. Life expectancy was low and poverty was high. The nation of Israel was governed by King Herod the Great, who also taxed the people for his many construction projects. He was a paranoid man who thought nothing of killing members of his family to protect his throne. In fact, the Magi who bring good news of a newborn king terrify Herod. He orders the massacre of all male children 2 years and under. This decree sends the Holy Family running to Egypt, the part of the Christmas story that we rarely ever tell. I mention it so we see beyond the pageantry of Christmas to the real world in which Jesus was born. It was a world of political intrigue, a world where the innocent are murdered, a world of economic upheaval, a world where the future was uncertain. You see, Jesus was born into a world just like ours. Meanwhile, though, in a stable, there's a poor young woman pregnant for the first time. She's miles away from home, weary from days of traveling. You see, we picture Mary again on that donkey, and perhaps she was, but she and Joseph were of a poor family, and it was 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. A 9 to 10 day trip, and it's likely Mary walked most, if not all, that distance pregnant. All she and Joseph could register for taxes. The moment of birth comes, and she and Joseph are alone, surrounded by smelly, noisy animals, and anyone who has ever given birth knows that there is nothing silent about it. Mary had to have been frightened and anxious, any young woman would. And then she hears it. The voice of the angel Gabriel echoing in her mind, "Mary, do not be afraid." This year, as I prepared for Christmas Eve, I was struck by how the stories of the birth of Jesus are full of anxiety and fear. The angelic pronouncements throughout the story begin with the phrase, "Do not be afraid." Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds all hear it. And then it occurred to me that an adult Jesus continues this same theme. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they?" Later, Jesus, on the eve of his death, tells his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't let them be afraid." He assures them that he is going on ahead. He will prepare a place for them and he will return and take them to himself. And in that same teaching, he also tells them that in that meantime, they will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. At the empty tomb, angels tell grieving women, "Do not be afraid." Jesus tells Mary Magdalene the same thing before she recognizes him. And the disciples hiding in the upper room, afraid for the Jews, are encountered by the risen Christ who says to them, "Peace be with you." Over and over and over, Jesus speaks to our worry, our fear, our anxieties, and even our grief with these words of assurance, Don't be afraid. Take heart. I have overcome. Peace be with you. It's not a peace that is absent of conflict and challenge, but that peace of his that is just deeply embedded within us, that assurance that he is with us and that he has overcome all that we may face. And we find the same is true throughout the biblical narrative. God or God's messengers will speak to someone, Moses or David or Jeremiah, many heard, do not be afraid, followed by the promise that God would be with them. And even our beloved Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So tonight, what fears or anxieties are upon your heart? I think about those that are upon mine, and then how many of you are news junkies? I've met a few. When they tell me they're a news junkie, I tell them to go on a diet. Because between the media and politics and advertising, those tap into all our fears. And then it amps them up. It affects us more than we know. And friends, that's not the way it ought to be. You see, fear has a way of tying our stomach into knots and paralyzing our thinking. It makes us sick, paranoid of others, and even chokes out our faith. Fear becomes the lens through which we view our world. Years ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, during a time of national anxiety, said, "Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." I think this is the message of Scripture as well. Fear is the thing we ought to fear. And so almost 2,000 years ago, God gave us the remedy. Now, some of you may wonder why I have excerpts from a Charlie Brown Christmas in your bulletin. I'll tell you. In this holiday classic, the Peanuts gang are preparing for a Christmas play. I have to tell you, I watched this morning when I got up. At one point, at the height of his depression and frustration with the selfishness and commercialism of Christmas, Charlie Brown just yells, "Isn't there anyone that knows what Christmas is all about?" And the answer comes from the thumb-sucking, security blanket-carrying Linus. He says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And so Linus proceeds to center stage. He asks the lights to be lowered, and he begins to recite that familiar story from Luke's gospel. He tells about the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night and the glory of the Lord shining around them, and they are so afraid. And then it happens. You know, I've seen this story 50 times, and I never noticed this. Linus, as he's reciting that angelic pronouncement, "Fear not," he drops his blanket. That symbol of his fear, he drops it and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day a child, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, this, friends, is the message of Christmas. We can let go of our fears, for unto us a child is born, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Back at the end of the Civil War, Philip Brooks, an Episcopalian priest, wrote a hymn that was inspired by his visit to the fields outside Bethlehem. The hymn was written for his Sunday school kids, children who had grown up surrounded by national anxiety and the Civil War. The hymn goes like this: "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." You know, we know dark streets, darkness of grief, of disease, of war, and even when the war is over, it's sometimes not over in our minds. The darkness of a chaotic world, depression, fear of not knowing what tomorrow might bring. We can all name our personal dark places, our dark streets. But then we have to remember that older brother, Don't be afraid. There's a man who knows how to turn on the light. That man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, there is no one, no thing that can dim or turn off the light of Christ. It shines in even the darkest place. So hear the angelic voice. Do not be afraid. You know, our money may come and go, but Christ is with us. Our health may fail, but still, Christ is with us. Our lives may be broken by sin or past mistakes, but Christ is still with us. You see, that's the good news for all of us. And that's good news that lasts forever. You see, our failures are never final. Our infirmities are not ultimately fatal, and our death is never the last word. This, friends, is good news of great joy. Thanks be to God. Amen. And in the spirit of peace that comes to us in this season, the peace of Christ, that deep abiding peace, is what we greet each other with this evening. And so the peace of Christ be with you.